Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm talking to you today about a topic near to my heart, and that is homeschooling. You probably guessed it by the title of the show. We're going to start a new format where we have a devotion for the kids, maybe talk about some art crafts that could go along with it, and a STEM lesson or two, and a curriculum review. So here we go. Whale of a tale. Jonah was in a huff about the people of Nineveh. Their repenting had upset him. He stomped off to a hill nearby to see what would happen. While he was there, God sent a vine to grow and give him some shade. Jonah had been hot and uncomfortable, and the vine gave him some relief. The vine grew, and Jonah got real attached to it. When God sent a worm to eat the vine and kill it, Jonah was, well, extremely angry. He was so angry and frustrated that he just wanted to die. Why? Jonah hadn't planted, fertilized, or watered the vine. He had done nothing to make it grow. God had given him a gift, and when it was gone, he grumbled about it. Don't we do the same thing, even about small matters, such as sunshine? When it rains, we get disagreeable. But why? We didn't have anything to do with the sun shining. God controls all that. We need to learn to accept everything He allows, trusting that He will always help us through the tough times. But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." Jonah 4:9. I love that little verse because it reminds me of my humanity, and I do the Jonah thing so often. But praise God, he loves me in spite of myself. Now we're transitioning to our art idea, our art or craft idea. So this is what I'd like the young people to do. I'd like them to go out and draw a whale. And the book that I recommend is The Blue Whale. You can probably get it in the library. It's just a beautiful nonfiction picture book with amazing details. You can even see how large a blue whale's eyes are, and you can get an idea of the size. The illustrations are beautiful. So you go out with some sidewalk chalk, and you set your children to drawing a whale. That will help them really get an idea of how big a whale is, and they can use that book as a source of inspiration. Now let's go to a STEM lesson. So for the younger children, you and the older kids like to do this too. You can make an ocean in a bottle by putting sand and some shells and water and oil, maybe a little glitter, and just, you know, make sure the lid's tight. I just use a canning jar lid and a canning jar. And then they can rock that back and forth and get some really cool ideas. Now, serious work, and this could probably last you 6 months. I went to a site that's called 4 STEM Lesson Plans Exploring Aspects of Our Oceans. And this is a really great site. It has the ability to take the lesson plans and put it into your Microsoft Office Word so you can tweak it a little bit. It has one of the things that I would recommend is building the model for seeing how sharks move. Sharks are always very interesting. So you can go to 4, that's the number spelled out, F-O-U-R, STEM, Lesson Plans, Exploring Aspects of Our Oceans. And it has great content there for grades 6 through 8. So for your older students, that really would be a wonderful thing to do. You might even be able to make it last the whole year because it teaches coding. And if you really unwrapped and did everything there, you don't even need a textbook. So the next thing on our morning agenda is curriculum review. Curriculum, you know, is there's nothing magic about curriculum. Curriculum just means the path that you're designing for the learning of your students. We often think that curriculum are all the books, and so we have to buy a bunch of books and teacher's editions. But with technology, you don't have to do that nowadays. You can look at the path of what you want your child to learn and gather the resources. So let's look at science. Since we're talking about whales, let's look at science. And a site that I love to go to is KathyDuffyReviews.com. She has so much information there. I've interviewed her before on the radio show, and I'll interview her again. But one of her favorite picks is My Father's World, and I have that book too. It's The World of Science is the title of the book, and it's been lightly edited from the original 2004. So My Father's World worked with the Masters Books publisher to keep this science book in print and edit out references to images of early prehistoric man and correcting outdated information. And there's many wonderful pictorial science books that you could use for your curriculum, whatever you want to use. I'm just saying that this is one I picked, and with that book then springboards the ideas. This particular book is 248 pages, and you could easily make your science curriculum totally around this book. Now, if you're old school and you want a lot of worksheets, this doesn't have that. But if you're new school and you want to provide a STEM education, and that component would be in the science, then this is a fantastic book for that. It's divided into 7 sections, so you could go the whole year. The first 6 sections are topical, covering matter and chemicals, energy, motion, machines, electricity, magnetism, light, sound, earth and life, space and time. And then each section is divided into numerous subtopics. So each one is presenting a foundational information along with examples of real-life science applications, science discovery, and the biographies of the famous scientists. So you have 40 pages of science projects in addition to all of that, and they're illustrated step-by-step instructions. So you can do the projects. Some are quite simple and some are more elaborate. So you could use it across your grades. And I just love it. I would use it probably grades 3 through 8. Anyway, that's my opinion. Remember, anything on this radio show is simply my opinion. I love the book. I have it here on as a coffee table book, but you could use it for a whole year's curriculum. We're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I'm going to talk about some of the questions that parents are asking me. We'll be right back.
What's the matter with you?
Tanya, that's what's the matter with me.
Your best friend Tanya? Have a little tiff, did we?
Little? Just the fight of the century. Do you know what she did?
I have a feeling you're gonna tell me.
She wore my favorite sweater the other day and got a big stain on it.
You let her wear your clothes?
And then she said the stain was already there and it was my fault.
Does what you're wearing right now belong to someone else?
I am never going to speak to her again.
Well, that might be hard because she's coming to your birthday party on Sunday.
Then I'm going to uninvite her. Let me use your cell phone.
Wait a minute. Weren't you listening in church last week? Pastor Quanto said that if we hold a grudge, if we stay angry at someone, it can make us sick.
Well, he's right. Tanya makes me sick.
I think you're missing the point here. You're gonna make yourself sick by being angry and not forgiving little sweater girl. The preacher said that we can get stomach aches, headaches, even lose sleep when we're angry. That's not healthy.
Well, what would you do if someone borrowed your sweater and got a big stain on it?
I don't lend my clothes to people. That's creepy.
Okay, what if it was your baseball glove? What if someone broke it and then blamed it on you?
I guess if someone broke my glove, I'd be pretty mad, but I don't want to be sick, so I'm thinking I'd have to decide which is more important, my glove or my health.
Sam, you're pretty smart for a dumb kid. Can I borrow your red jacket?
No.
Just for the party?
No way.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, he established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you, so be sure and call us. That's 301-824-3162 or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783. Welcome back. Today, our title of our show today was A Whale of a Tale. And we've kind of focused on the ocean. We've covered things like STEM activities, art, an art activity, and a science curriculum. And now I'm going to the section of the show that we're calling Questions Homeschooling Parents Ask. And if you're new to homeschooling, I'm sure that all of these questions will be very relevant to you. If you're an old timer, you have this figured out. So the first question is, my students struggle with spelling. What curriculum do you suggest? Well, if it's any consolation, I'm not a very good speller either. And I've had a very successful life, so my inability to spell didn't keep me from going on to school and achieving everything that I wanted to in academia. And it hasn't prevented me from running school boards and running nonprofits and ministering as I see God would want me to minister. I praise God for that, because that's the whole goal. As we educate our children, our goal is to prepare them to minister and to be co-laborers with God. Now, the topic of spelling. Spelling curriculum, you can buy spelling workbooks, and you can force your children to learn and memorize lists of spelling words, and it helps to them to enrich their vocabulary and become good writers and readers. That's the whole point. I know that one of the things I latched onto was Quizlet, and Quizlet revolutionized my spelling. I'm going to tell you what I did before Quizlet, and then I'm going to tell you what I did after Quizlet. So before Quizlet, I just went and got the basic sight words, and those lists you can find anywhere on the internet. You can just say the grade level spelling words that your child is in, and that becomes the list that you follow, and it has every list for every week for the school year. And then from that, I made a spelling contract. So they had to write the words in alphabetical order. They had to write the words with the colors of the rainbow. So each letter was a different color of the rainbow. They could do a word search. They could make up their own word search with the words. They could make a crossword puzzle with their words. They could do a hidden picture with their words. And so this master contract was laid out before them, and then they picked one of those items to do each day. In addition to that, they had what I called the grid. So they wrote their word down, they did a little icon representing the word, and then they used the word correctly in a sentence. After all, our goal is for them to be able to use these words properly in their reading and writing. And as hard work as it was, the students usually had pretty good grades on their spelling tests each Friday. But when I changed to Quizlet and had the words where they could actually play with each other on the internet with the words and try to get higher scores, that, for many of the students that I've worked with, that has been a game changer. I think that the best would be a little bit of both. So you can go online, get your spelling curriculum, get your spelling word lists online. They're free for each grade, and then you can build your contract. You can use something like Quizlet. You can make some cool. There's other spelling contracts online that give you lists of fun things to do with each of the spelling words. You don't need to spend money buying workbooks with spelling activities in them. I wouldn't recommend that. Very few schools are doing that anymore. So for older children, you incorporate words from their vocabulary, words from their literature. But younger children, I think up through the sixth grade, you can easily find lists, word lists that are easy to make your own spelling curriculum. Okay, let's go on to the next question. I am trying to figure out how to tell my 8 and 10-year-old children that their father is leaving for overseas service. He has been a reservist, so we knew this was a possibility, but now it is a reality. How do I tell them? Well, I'm sorry, because in these tumultuous times, often what is a possibility does become a reality when you are looking at the military. The ideal thing, in hindsight, it's always 20/20, is if you had prepared them ahead of time before it was a reality. And maybe you have. That being said, this is not going to be easy. And I think as you breathe faith into it, faith that your husband is doing what God would have him do, faith that you're okay, that you're not going to be overcome with grief. There is a saying that when mama's okay, everybody's okay. So let's pray that that's the case, that you can become fortified. And remember, there are many children that have to navigate life without either parents. There are many children that are navigating life without the mother because she's in the military. And they can do it too. It's definitely a faith-growing experience. I don't wish it on anybody. I wish we lived in a world where there was no war and we were all at peace. But we live in an enemy-occupied world, and until Jesus comes, we have these kinds of hardships and threats hanging over us. And the more you can fortify your children by breathing faith into them, the better off they are. And it begins with breathing faith into yourself. Whatever comes is well with my soul. The last question I have today is kind of a light-hearted one if you're not in the middle of it. And that is, I have 3 children sharing a bedroom, and it is K chaos in the room. There's clothes and toys and beds unmade. It looks chaotic, and I want a way to get my children to clean it themselves. So the first question I would ask is the age of your children. Usually they're not all the same age, but maybe you have twins and an older or younger sibling. And you'll have the neat freaks, and you'll have the abstract randoms and artistic kind of children, and it's just a hodgepodge. Well, number one, you need to model a nice organized space for yourself. Human beings love to be in nice clean spaces. So it starts with the parents. That being said, you don't want to be overly critical or strict, but you can devise some type of regime. First thing, when we get out of our bed in the morning, we make it. That is the very first thing we do. So devise or initially make their beds so they can easily be made. Even if they're, you know, the covers are well tucked in on the far side away from them so that when they get out, they can just pull the covers over. Make your bed. That is a known fact in helping to establish a clean, organized life, is to make your bed. In fact, Jesus did it. When he rose from the grave, he made his grave bed before he rose. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus himself modeled, make your bed. And then the next thing is to have a place for everything. And you can put pictures of the toys where they go so that the kids can readily see, oh yes, that's where that Lego block goes. It goes there. And you can have a picture even on the dirty clothes hamper so that they know, oh, my dirty clothes go there. And clean clothes time, when it's time to wash the clothes, fold them and put them up, have the children involved with you in that task. And they need to learn to where to put their clothes. The socks go in this part of the drawer and the pants and shirts go over here. It's a goal that all parents have worked and strived for, and I don't know of anybody that's perfectly achieved it, but you will really find that your children's room is beginning to be a nice, fun place for them to play as they learn to keep it orderly. Doesn't mean that sometimes it won't be a wreck of the Hespers, but it just means that they will have that space. And then I like to make a special effort every Friday to clean my house. And I like the kids to make a special effort. So that's when you do the vacuuming and dusting and things that really take it up a notch so that you have a lovely space to spend your weekend in. Well, dearly beloved listeners, just remember that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Well, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.